The body and blood of Christ. What is it? Well, I just told you what it is. The body and the blood of Christ. It is truly the flesh and the blood of God. It's not a symbol. It's not something that becomes real because we believe it or because we consume it. It is what it is. And in the sacrifice of the Mass, ordinary bread becomes the very flesh of God. It's the real thing, and it's real food. When we take it in, it becomes part of our body, just like regular food. But in this case, because it's divine, it's of God, we start to become divine too. So it's the real thing. People from different churches don't believe that as we do. Flannery O'Connor, one of the great authors of the last century, said, if it's not really the flesh and blood of God, the heck with it. But that's what we believe. It truly is. Now, they say that most Catholics don't believe that. I don't know why. I don't know if they never heard it. They've never thought about it. They've never been taught the reasons for it, etc. But it is truly the flesh and the blood of God. So remember that. This is a fantastic gift. It's the greatest gift. And also, if you remember from my homily last week, we receive the body of Christ. We're also receiving the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're always one. But it's through the second person of the Holy Trinity that we celebrate the Eucharist and ordinary bread and wine becoming the very flesh and blood. So if I ask you this in the future, one of our back to basics questions, you'll all know the answer, right? Of course, I'm going to word it in a way that'll confuse you. All right, the second thing is how to receive communion. Now, I do this every year because some people have these strange ways of receiving, and I'm never sure what they're trying to do. But you have an option. You can receive it on the tongue, or you can receive it in your hand. In either case, as you come up, just before you receive, a little bow of the head as a way of honoring what you're going to be doing. And if you receive on the tongue, be sure you open your mouth wide, stick out your tongue, hold still, do not move, so that when you feel the host on your tongue safely, then you can consume it. Now, every priest has someone like this. We call them the snapper. Yeah, there's someone that comes up goes like that. But that's why I try to help people understand how to do it. The second way, which is much more common, is receive it in the palm of your hand. Don't do this. Don't go like that. But we're told from an ancient document, make of your hands a throne to receive Christ. So this is what we're supposed to be doing. One hand on top of the other. Doesn't matter which one. And then when that host is put in your hand and the priest kind of withdraws his hand, then you take the host, put it in your mouth, and consume it immediately. And in each case, you're going to be, the priest will say, the body of Christ. The response is, amen. So say that good and loud. Do not, and I don't know where this comes from, but some people come up like this. They make a V shape. And I'm always wondering, you know, it could slide down, etc. What we want is to make sure that we honor what we're doing and make it as careful and as honorable as possible. So, as I say, from the very early church, they received in their hands, and the idea was you're receiving God, so make a throne for God. Because this is God. This is God we're receiving. Okay? I got a cattle prod in case some of you continue to go back to what you're doing. But no, most people do it well. Okay, but I do that because we want to make sure we don't drop the host. Also, a couple times we found a host in the pews or outside, so immediately consume it. And what I try to do is make sure that I see that happening. Because we're talking about God here, you know, the real flesh of God. It doesn't stop being the flesh of God just because it's underneath a pew. Today we start, and this is worldwide, the parish component of the Eucharistic revival. How many of you have heard of the Eucharistic revival, 3-year? How many? Let me see your hands. Okay, many of you haven't, but we've been in it for some time now. And so with this feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Christ, we're going to begin the parish focus, and we'll be doing things in the parish for honoring the Blessed Sacrament. But I want to go, what are we supposed to do when we talk about the Eucharist? How are we supposed to honor it? How are we supposed to live it? Because it's not just something we receive and go home and say, well, I got mine. No, the point of it is that as followers of Jesus Christ, if we dare to go forward, receive the flesh of God, we are saying, yes, God, I believe, and do with me as you will. And tell me each moment how I'm supposed to be your disciple. And we know that as disciples, we're supposed to go out and proclaim the gospel to every creature and baptize. So if we really believe in the Eucharist, it means we have to believe in that commission, that that's what we're supposed to be doing. So we go from here out into the world to share, teach what we are celebrating here. If we just keep it here, if it's just a private devotion, it's not really the full understanding of what it means to honor the Blessed Sacrament. There's much more to it. It means that we commit ourselves to Christ. There was a recent article out of Notre Dame that said, the Eucharist commits us to the poor. That's an ancient teaching. The Eucharist, by receiving it, we are committing ourselves to serving the poor. In fact, I think it was St. John Chrysostom, one of the great fathers of the Eastern Church, he said, there is a direct line from the altar of the Eucharist to the table of the poor. And all he's saying is, when we receive, we've got to go serve the poor as God is serving us. So the poor are very, very important in honoring the Eucharist. It's also about the kingdom of God. You know, this young man comes up to Jesus. He says this, that, and the other thing. And Jesus says, you're close to the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Well, literally, it's God. You know, it's not this kingdom with castles and everything. It is God. What is heaven? It is God. You know, we have these kind of earthly views, and there certainly is something to the new earth that is supposed to happen as a result of the end times, etc. But all of it is about God. And so to honor God, to follow God, to be faithful to God, is to build up the kingdom of God, to go forth and build up the kingdom and let other people know about it. St. Paul says the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. Okay? I think many people stop right there. Yeah, I eat the flesh of Christ, I drink the blood of Christ, and I go home and I go back to my routine. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, and this is what Paul says, 3 things, peace, justice, joy. Peace, justice, joy. So if we're working at those things, if we're bringing those gifts to other people, then we get what the Eucharist is all about. It's not about me being saved. I'm saved in a community. You know, I can't do it alone. If I don't serve my neighbor, I'm not going to be saved, no matter how much I believe that the Eucharist is the flesh of Christ. I have got to show God that I truly believe, I am truly grateful, and to go out and serve. So what we can do is we can kind of evaluate our lives and where we are with our faith and the Eucharist, our belief in the Eucharist, by asking myself, what about joy? You remember all through Easter, we heard, now overcome with paschal joy. We're supposed to be overcome with paschal joy. So if joy is not a part of our lives, and I'm not talking about this kind of passing feeling of happiness, but a sense of, I have so much to be joyful for, to be grateful for, because it's all about God. If I have that, then I know what the kingdom of God is about. Peace. Peace in my heart, certainly. So no matter what's going on in the world, I still have this rootedness in Christ. And because of that rootedness in Christ, and peace is a gift, I want to bring peace to other people. How do I do that? Well, I bring Christ to them. I bring my service to them. I bring my joy to them and share it with them, so that they too can know what the kingdom of God is all about. So again, the kingdom of God is not this nice little theory. It is incarnated through us in our actions as followers of Christ, because we bring Christ in our very flesh to other people. So there's this enfleshment of the kingdom of God. Again, it's not castles, it's not otherworldly. It's right here in our midst, and we are called to live it and to share it with others. Again, if we're not doing that, then we don't really understand what the Eucharist is all about, or we just don't care. And then we have justice. So we have joy, we have peace, and justice. Well, what is justice? Well, it's really quite simple. It's living a life that honors everyone, is aware of the needs of everyone, loves everyone equally to the best of our ability, and tries to work in the world so that everyone can live a dignified life. Because everyone is made in the image and likeness of God. So if I'm truly just, I'm going to do what I can in the secular world and in the world of the spirit to help people know who they are and why they deserve to be treated with dignity. And it doesn't matter who they are or what they do. I have to treat them with dignity. So there again, I need to go out into the world and do what I can. Now, some people do it through, let's say, their gift of representing other people, through a government, whatever. But all of us have the ability and the graces and the call to live just lives. So I cannot live justly, I'm not living justly, according to the kingdom of God, if it's all about me. And I think, oh, I earned that, it's mine, I can do what I want, so forth and so on. But rather, I'm supposed to be thinking, okay, God, you gave me all these gifts. You're the author of it all. And the gift you want to give me, heaven, is something I can't buy, but I can show you how much I want it by living a just life. And so what do? We have Catholic charities all over the world. The Catholic Church is the biggest dispenser of charities of any kind, medical and physical, agricultural, in the world. And because that is very much the focus of who we are. Because that's what God wants. He wants all people to live dignified lives, which means working for justice, which means living justly in my own life. And, you know, really holding our feet to the fire. Am I wasting things? Do I have too much? Do I generously give of what I have, what I can do, who I am with other people? So there's all those connections. The body and blood of Christ, it's about God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is about the kingdom of God. We are called to build up the kingdom of God by living lives of joy and peace and justice. So as we go through the parish part of the Eucharistic revival, we got to keep that in mind. It's not just about adoration. That should be feeding us, so that we can do these things in the world. It's not just about talking about what we believe. It's not just about processions, but we need to do that so other people will look and see, hey, what's going on? Why are they doing that? And then we can tell them. But it's about living a life where we know it's all about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm willing to go out into the world to serve people in any way and at the same time to teach them about Jesus. We come to faith by hearing about Jesus Christ. You know, it's not in the airwaves. People don't suddenly say, I believe in Jesus Christ. It's because some Christian, in their actions, in their words, grab the attention of someone, and then they want to know more. And that means honoring everybody, talking with everybody, listening to everyone, not worrying about the effect of what we say will have on the individual, but trusting God's walking right with us. In fact, he's not walking right with us. He's in us. Remember that. When we receive communion, God is there. He's not there for 20 minutes for digestion and then he's gone. No. You know, that's maybe how we think. But because it's the real divine food, it stays there. So we go into the world like a tabernacle or a monstrance. So right there, how do we want to represent Jesus? How do we want to represent the Father and the Holy Spirit? Because that's what we're doing. So when people look at us, and one of the big things today, and it's not necessarily true per se, but so many people don't like Christianity, and the number one reason is because Christians are hypocritical. Now that's the reason. I don't think most people are hypocritical. I'd say they're sinners. You know, we're all sinners, and we're not real good at our faith. But that's what people are seeing and hearing. So how do we undo that? How do we show them, well, I'm a Christian, and yeah, I am a hypocrite. I don't want to be, though, and I'm working at it. You want to work at it with me? I mean, ask that to someone, because everybody's a hypocrite, right? So come on, join the club. We got a lot of room in here for more hypocrites. But we're supposed to be letting people know that to really flourish as a child of God, to really find that peace and justice and joy for others and for ourselves, means that we always have to go to the Lord. Remember what we believe and live it each and every day. And that living out of our belief has to have form, has to have action. It has to involve being, living, doing justice, bringing joy to those who particularly are captive in some way, and of letting people know what peace is all about. That the people who live in monasteries don't have personal money are just as peaceful as someone who has someone with $1 billion probably isn't peaceful because they're worried about the money thing. And Jesus didn't have any of it, but he was the one who was filled with peace and justice and joy. So the Eucharist is so crucial to our living out of the gospel. We need to receive the body of Christ because it is our divine food. It changes us so that we can do better and better and better at living the gospel message and building up the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God's already here. It's in us. It's around us. It is God. So what are we going to do with it? How are we going to take it into the world? How are we going to let other people know about it? How are we going to let people know about the body and blood of Christ, that it is truly divine food? And tell them why we believe that and what the scriptures say and what the teachings of the church say. And to say, because of that gift, I have to live a life of love of my neighbor. I have to willingly give up my life in order to serve my neighbor, just as Jesus did. So we got a lot of work to do, right? And it's good work. But so as we begin this parish part of the year of Eucharistic revival, keep that in mind and push all of us. You know, if you have a great idea how we can show the love of the Eucharist in some kind of action, concrete way. We do that. We have outreach to women in problem pregnancies. We have food cupboards. We do all sorts of things. But how do we connect it literally, completely, with receiving communion? Because that communion makes us go out into the world. It's supposed to make us go out in the world and show the world who God is. So we've got the next year to do it. It's not just the next year, it's the rest of our lives. But in a very special way, how can we learn more about the Eucharist, honor the Eucharist, and then live what the Holy Eucharist compels us to live each and every day? That's something we need to do every single moment of our lives so that we truly can honor what God has given us, this great gift, and build up his kingdom.